two verses, we have two different ways that we are not under the law. Two different ways that we are not under the law. I don't know if you've ever been interacting with another believer, and you love the law, as we have sung much from God's own word, his own songs that he has put in our mouths this afternoon, that we love the law, and you're excited to discuss with this believer what Jesus was like when he was perfectly obedient in our place, and what he's doing in us, and what we look like more and more as he works in us. And as you started, oh, we're not under the law. And they just, by that they mean we're not under the law as a way of defining what is good. We're not under the law as a rule and guide for how we are to live. Those are not things the Bible ever teaches. But here in Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14, we do have two different ways that we are not under the law. First, we are not under the curse of the law. This is something that has been true for believers in Jesus even from before Jesus came, because they trusted in him who was to come. So how is it, looking at verse 13, that Jesus made us not to be under the curse of the law? Okay? He died on the cross. He didn't just die on the cross. He didn't just take our curse.
He rose again?
He became a curse for us. Now, I don't, I imagine others of you have a similar reaction when Scripture talks so strongly about how Christ identified with us, and specifically how he identified with our sin and with our guilt. Right? Isn't it shocking, 2 Corinthians 5? Not just he made him who knew no sin to have our sin counted against him, but he made him who knew no sin to be sin itself, our sin, on the cross. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Similarly shocking here, Galatians 3:13, having become a curse for us. And of course, God preparing preparing us to understand that this is what was happening. It wasn't just that Jesus died and that death was physically and emotionally horrific. Just utterly terrible. I remember many times as a child growing up in church, hearing things about the Roman whip with the leather straps and bits of metal or glass in the end designed to bite into the flesh and tear it out as they whipped it back to give them another lash. I remember many times being instructed about not just the pain of the crown of thorns and the nails and the feet, but what would be happening in his chest cavity as he had to push up on that nail to breathe, and the difficulty of breath and painfulness of breath, all of that. And that is what impressed me the most as a child. There was a film, as most of our catechism kids know, a Ninth Commandment mutilating film that presented the Second Commandment, sorry. Thank you, Josiah. Second Commandment, mutilating, I told lies about Jesus too, but Second Commandment, mutilating film in which Jesus and the mutilation that he really did physically undergo was represented on the screen. But that is not the great horror of the cross. It is horrific, but there's an infinitely greater horror, and that is God the Son, the ever-blessed one, the beloved Son, with whom God is well pleased, goes to that cross to become a curse for us. Now, until you come to faith in Jesus Christ, your soul is under that curse. He who has earned your blessing will bring you to faith in him, and that when you are brought to faith in Jesus Christ, the blessing of God rests upon you for his sake. And of course, he's earned all of the blessings by which he brings you to himself. But he had to become a curse for us. And how do you come out from under the curse of the law? Is it through works of the law? No. What's the language that was used back in verse 2? And back in verse 5. Not by works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Okay, there are things in the law that point you to Christ. And when you hear them and believe in him who became a curse for us, who are brought out from under the curse of the law, I'm so glad that we are not under the curse. All the things that it threatens, all that it communicates to us about how deserving we are of the holy hatred and vengeance of God, that those things don't come upon. We're not under the threat and curse of those things if we are believers in Jesus Christ. So that's one way that believers are not under the law. And praise God for that way. But we're not just under the law as something that threatens us. We're also not under the law as a way of receiving our inheritance. Okay? So verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the nations in Christ Jesus. Okay? So you receive the inheritance that Abraham has promised, not by coming from Abraham's body, not by imitating Abraham's behaviors, but by trusting in Abraham's Redeemer. You and Abraham, if you are getting the inheritance of Abraham from God, you're getting it the same way Abraham did, by believing in Jesus Christ. And what is the greatest part of that inheritance? What is God's greatest gift to us, children? What question? Who answer?
Christ.
Christ himself, right? He gives us himself. In this particular case, he gives us his Spirit, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Remember in the Gospels, there's that, maybe Jesus taught it twice, or maybe the different Gospel writers that the Holy Spirit used record for us different details of what he taught. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, and in one place, does the Father know how to give good gifts? But in another place, does the Father know how to give the Spirit? Right? God's greatest gift to us is himself. When he gives us the Holy Spirit, he's not giving us this kind of divine power wave that energizes and charges us up so we can do stuff. He's giving us a person, just like giving us his Son. He's giving us a person. He's giving us himself in the Son. He's giving us himself in the Spirit. And so when it talks about the blessing of Abraham, the inheritance of Abraham, you're reading you're at the meeting with whoever the executor of the will is, and he's reading out what each one inherits. And he, of course, this is a different kind of execution of the will, because the one who died and whose testament is being carried out has also risen again, right? It's the Lord Jesus. And as they read out the will and what you inherit, the one that's highlighted here, the part of it that's highlighted here, is you inherit the Spirit of God himself. That the Holy Spirit, who is the one who enters our hearts, and not only Romans 8, not only by whom we put to death the deeds of the body, but who makes us to cry out what? Abba, Father, the Spirit by whom we cry, Abba, Father. He is the Spirit of sonship for us, and he is our greatest inheritance. You don't get the Spirit by works of the law. He was saying that all the way back in verse 2, right? This is my walk of working. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So we're not under the threat, the curse of the law, and we are not under the law as a way of coming into our inheritance. Does God reward good works? Absolutely. The Bible teaches that everywhere. Why is the question? Does he reward our good works because they are good enough to deserve the reward? Or does he reward the good works because they are done in Jesus, by his love, fruit of our being joined to him, and he's the one who deserves the blessing that we receive? Okay, so we're not under the law as a way, as a threat of curse, and we're not under the law, we can believe in Jesus, we're not under the law in that way, nor are we under the law as a way of deserving or coming into the earning from God an inheritance. No, the blessing of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's what we mean when we say we're not under the law. Now, somebody who's not under the law in those days, I propose to you standing on a whole lot of Scripture. They will love the law. They will want to obey the law. They want to understand what it says in great detail so they can express by a life of love and obedience and service their thankfulness to the Lord, who has brought them out from under the law in these ways.